G'day and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast, sponsored by Carol Angley Florist. With myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, myself, Dan Chum, the bit legend, the one and only, the daddy-o, my star man, Mr. Paul Levy.
Probably the only one in Chicago who is sober today. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode number 355, and thanks to everyone, as always, who's tuned in to last week's show, but also it's our final match podcast of the season. We've got one more next week, don't worry. But this is our final podcast that will cover a match. So thanks to everyone who's been with us throughout the course of this season and all the ups and downs that we've had. This week we'll review that game, away win at Shrewsbury, and also the week that was over the last 7 days as the 23-24 season now comes to an end. As always, though, we'll start with a final word from our sponsors.
Yeah, so the podcast is sponsored by Carol Angley Florists, who are based in Chingford and have been serving the borough of Waltham Forest and the surrounding area for over the last 7 years. They've got a fantastic team there who can help you whatever your need. If it's a bespoke wedding, a family funeral, a birthday, anniversary, end of season party, bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, anything you like. And they offer all O's fans and staff 15% off. So to get in touch with the team, you can give them a call on 0208 529 4130. You can go and look at their lovely website at www.carolangley.co.uk, or you can go on social media. You'll find them on all the major platforms, on Instagram at Carol Angley Florists, on Twitter at Carol Angley E4, or on Facebook under Carol Langley Florists. And a massive thank you to John. It was great to see you last night at the Starman Awards. And thank you for all your support this season.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Supporters Club message for you. We just want to take this opportunity to congratulate the Supporters Club on another terrific season of travel and events. Well done to all of you guys, all volunteers, giving up your hard, your time and your hard-earned cash to go on these trips and to put them on and so on and so forth. So thank you to everyone at the Supporters Club, all the volunteers that run it and make it as amazing as it is.
I think it was announced last night this season, I think they've made £50,000 for the club, which is amazing.
In one season.
Pretty sure.
That is spectacular.
Yeah, well done to everyone. Another great night as well.
Yeah.
Put on by them. It will come to very shortly in the podcast. All right, the final season of the week that was. We'll start with our best mate, Dan Happy. Happy Monday, the 22nd of April. And say happy birthday as a starting point to Darren Pratley, who turned 39 years of age. Yeah. That's probably like the highlight song from this season, is that Darren Pratley song. Yeah.
And the fact there's two for him as well is like even more special. 1 year ago today, which is on Monday still, a 2-0 victory over Crewe Alexandra secured a second league title in 5 seasons for the O's as we won League Two, and a certain Dan Ajayi caught our eye for the visitors.
He certainly did. What a day that was, winning and back on the pitch shortly after Gillingham time. What a year that was to be alive. Right, let's move on to a Tuesday, the 23rd of April, and happy St. George's Day to everyone on this day.
Absolutely. As mentioned in last week's show and by Mark Devlin on Twitter, the club tweeted the following regarding the season ticket deadline. Leighton Orient can confirm the deadline for existing season card holders to renew for the 2024-25 campaign has now been extended to 5 p.m. on Friday the 17th of May. So just in case you might have missed that, I know Mark Devlin did nearly a 10-minute interview with the media team last Tuesday. So just in case you haven't seen that or heard this, you now have an extra 17 days to renew. Not quite sure why it's just 17 rather than the month of May, to give people another payday to be able to, you know, sort themselves out, whatever. But it is what it is. It's the 17th of May now at 5 o'clock.
It is. Get your tickets bought by then. I've done mine today. Renewed.
Yeah, online.
Online. Very easy, actually, to be fair. Very easy, which is obviously a very good thing. So, yeah, that is all done. And also, on Tuesday, this one went under my radar until Saturday. There were two matches played in League One that I knew about, but I didn't realise one of the outcomes did affect Orient. So Wickham went away. They drew 1-0 at Cambridge. That point saw them move up a place to 10th. It's overtaken us on goal difference, which means we dropped down to 11th. And I didn't cotton on to that until Saturday morning. When I was looking at the table thinking, hang on a minute, we were 10th and now we're 11th. How's that happened? And then had to trace it back and thought, oh, damn.
Yeah.
But there you go.
That's what happens in football. Wednesday the 24th of April. Quiet day at the club, no news to report, so we'll move on.
All right, Thursday the 25th of April. And the club announced that young midfielder protege Zeke Obiero has signed a new two-year deal at the club. Zeke went to say, "My journey at Orient has been a roller coaster of emotions so far, and seeing other younger players such as Charlie Pegram getting their chances has shown me that there was an opportunity for me to kick on as well. I've just kept working until I got my chance. I want to say the whole team has helped me. Players like Jaden Sweeney and Rawls Satoru have really helped me coming through as a young lad, and I can relate to them as they've come through the academy too."
Yeah, great news. Absolutely delighted that we'll get to see him develop his career in an Orient shirt, all being well. I don't know if he'll get a start next season. Depends on what summer business we do, obviously. But if we don't, then I think he'd certainly be snapped up by a top National League club. But I think he can do better than that. So probably a decent League Two club. I think he could do well at.
He's had a very good impact, hasn't he, in the last couple of games. So it'd be interesting to see what he's... what Richie's plans are for him, whether he gets on the bench and becomes consistent on the bench, whether he becomes a consistent starter. Mm. Not sure yet at the moment, but look, like what I've seen of him, I thought he was more of an attacking player, but when we've seen him, he's been steady in that central midfield. Mm-hmm. Great experience for him. Seems like a really nice lad. Good head on his shoulders.
Mm.
Yeah, exciting 2 years, 24 months away for young Zeke.
Absolutely. Things you love to see.
Absolutely.
So Friday the 26th of April, believe it or not, another quiet day at the club, no news to report, so let's move on.
All right, Saturday the 27th of April, and if anyone's listening to this going, why is the 27th of April ringing a bell in my head? It was probably because 5 years to the day since the greatest and best 0-0 we've ever seen, as that result and draw at home to Braintree on the final game of the season confirmed our standing as National League champions. And our return to the EFL. That's mad. That was only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here 5 years later as a fairly top half League One.
With a very different squad.
Club. And still lots of people, lots of unhappy O's fans as well. Just let that sink in.
Stunning.
5 years ago.
Mental. Crazy. 7 years ago, we nearly didn't have anything. So there you go. The youth team were in action. They were away at Stevenage. They ended up taking the lead in the 15th minute. As a strike from Abdi Mahmoud went across the goalkeeper and into the bottom corner, and it was 2-0 shortly after as Nzang found Samuel, who finished well, and that's how the first half ended. But a nightmare opening 20 minutes in the second half saw the O's go 3-2 down, but managed to equalise in the 79th minute as Mackay Welsh bulldozed his way through from the edge of the box and fired into the roof of the net. He made it 3-3, which is exactly how the game ended. So well done to the young O's. Sounds like a decent match for them.
Done well, yeah, absolutely. A bit of a strange second half, conceding 3 goals in 20 minutes. But to get back into it shows great character.
Yeah.
And obviously they've had a great second half of the season, the young O's. All right, the main event was Shrewsbury Town away. And before the game, we ran our infamous Twitter poll to find out how you thought the O's would get on in this one. We had 204 votes, with 23% of you thinking the O's would lose, 25% of you thinking the O's would get the draw, with 52% of you going for an Orient win. So obviously that was the last Twitter poll for a match day this season. We'll obviously do our standard end of season polls later this week, so make sure to keep your eyes on our Twitter accounts to get all the Orient Outlook Awards out of the way for this season. But thanks for all your votes from the Thursdays to the Saturdays for the match days.
Exactly. Okay, so the team was announced at the slightly earlier time of 11:30, because obviously it was a 12:30 kickoff for some reason. Sam Howells was named in goal. James, Simpson, Beckles and Sweeney made up the back four, with Brown, Prattley, Obiero, Galbraith, Adu Ajayi and also Dan Ajayi making a start. With substitutes for this one, Bryn, Hunt, Happy, Sanders, Ford and Pegram.
Alright, so when I saw that, I was a bit confused. I looked at that and I thought there's some serious names missing again from that one. Only 6 subs, obviously. Looked like quite a depleted squad. Obviously, Ole O'Neill missing. So Matt Howard alluded to that in his pre-match interview. He said like he wouldn't be playing. So I kind of knew that one. But to not see Piggott and Moncur was a bit of a surprise. A surprise not to see Dan Happy start. I must confess, what Happy might get an odd start. And I did think about taking this line out, but I'm always honest. I thought, what's the point in starting Dan Adu Ajayi over Shaq Ford? When I saw that, I was like, you haven't got to rest these players anymore. There's one game left for the season. So I was quite disappointed to see Ford on the bench in place of Adu Ajayi. I did also find it odd that Sam Allardyce was being given an opportunity in the final game of the season. I was like, why don't you just play him against Fleetwood and let Sol Brin be in goal for like the last game of the season? So I found it a bit odd the way that was done. Although I am happy that Howes did get a chance to get a run out. But I thought there's more riding on this game than there was the previous week. So I was quite surprised to see him in the lineup for that. I know lots of changes for us, but only one change for Shrewsbury that I thought might work in their favour. But I guess hindsight's a wonderful thing. So a few questions for me when I saw that team announced at the early hours of 11:30. What about you?
Well, this is Matt Harrell choosing the lineup rather than Richie. So that's thrown up a couple of surprises. Pleased to see Sam Howes get a chance, finally, like you. I think I agree with the fact that he probably should have been given a chance a little bit earlier on, given our kind of our season wasn't over. There's always glory to play for. But would have been nice to have seen him. Like you, surprised... Sweeney starting over... I think Rob Hunt will feel disappointed. I think Sweeney, sort of in and out, doesn't really do him many favours, but any start is a good start for him. Only six subs, yeah, like you. No Piggott, no Moncur. They can't be injured or unfit, surely. I believe they're unwell in some way, shape or form. I think there's a bit of a bug going through the camp. For me, again, like you, going to be honest, I think, like everybody thinks, we need Joe and George to be off the payroll, I think, for next season. I know we're going to have a talk about the squad and our thoughts in next week's podcast, but that's a thought. I was like, if they're not in the final game of the season, what's the point?
Fresh out.
Just a bit of a kind of hands up in the air, like, what's going on? That you can't be unfit and you can't be... Like, you haven't injured yourself, have you? Like, let's be honest, you just don't want to play. Or aren't being selected because whatever reason's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts. We had a few thoughts that came in, a few tweets that came in to our social media account.
Yeah, Gorillas 1985 started off saying, why only six subs? So again, a lot of us were thinking that. Great to see you yesterday at the Star Manly.
Yeah, short question, but a big impacting question. LOFC Teresa said, glad to see Howes get a chance and Sweeney's back. Good to have Pegram on the bench. Let's hope the team do Matty proud. Another point is, why not start Charlie Pegram over Dan Aduajay?
Yeah.
I know Dan scored, so my point's a bit moot. But
at that point, you'd be thinking,
start one of our own, see how he does.
Fair shout.
In a nothing game.
Yeah, fair shout there. I don't disagree. Vince Howard, 73. So it's interesting that Piggott, Moncur and Edwards all left the home. So good shout about Edwards, obviously not in the match day squad at all. Not that any would have influenced the game, so not surprised that they are missing.
James O'Hagan said, decent chance for a few to prove themselves. Howes needs a clean sheet to make a claim for next season. Let's seal that top 10 spot and end a decent first season back in League One well, up the O's.
Yeah, so Len Chin-Chin-Wan had the last tweet, pre-match tweet of the season. Like he always does, says crunch time for last game of the season. Points to achieve, but think a need to play a mixed team of players from what is available. I think they'll be allowed to play with freedom and hopefully good defence. Clinical player in the box, up the O's.
Yeah, indeed. So, the match kicked off, the final one of the season, kicked off at Crowd Meadow with Matt Harrell taking charge of the O's in his last game at the club, with the O's in all white looking to finish the season strongly against a Shrewsbury Town side that are now safe from relegation.
Yeah, they certainly were. All right, the travelling faithful didn't have long to wait for an opener as Dan Aduajay put us ahead after a nice passing move. Again, nice patient passing to get the opening, to get the play. And ball moved quickly. James Sweeney got the ball on the left. He found Dan Adjei in the box with a smart pass. Adjei done well. He fired a cross shot across the 6-yard box. And then Adjei was there to get an easy tap in to make it 1-0 to the O's with his first professional league goal.
Proper poacher's goal, that. Proper hanging off the edge there. Borderline. Not, it wasn't offside, but it was that kind of that edge that he just like rushed forward at the right time. Timed his run perfectly. So congratulations, Dan, on your first professional goal a la Harry Kane. So you never know what you might be watching here, folks.
Yeah, fair point. All right, I mean, yeah, lovely build-up play.
Great
ball across the face of goal from Adjei. All right,
good play from Zach as well.
Yeah, really good. All good build-up
play. And who found Dan Adjei to then square it across.
Yeah, all right, 20 minutes gone in. Nice one too with Darren Pratt. He saw Dan Aduajay get away on the right. He put a ball into the box in search of Dan Adjei. A sliding fiend, he got there first for the defence, almost putting the ball into the back of his own net as his sliding block hit the post. Keeper was beat there.
Yeah.
Another inch to the left and it's 2-0 game over.
2 minutes later, Dan Adjei almost doubled our lead as firstly his shot was well saved by Morosi, and from the subsequent passage of play, Tom James put a ball in from the right-hand side. Adji came in at the back post as his header hit the bar. Again, an inch the other way, and it's 2-0 at this point.
Great build-up. Again, Pratty does superb in the build-up to both chances. Plays a good ball in the first build-up and then wins the ball back to get the ball to Tom James. And Tom James's cross was like...
on a plate.
Perfect. Yeah, Adji probably should have scored that, but powerful header. Again,
he talked about that in his post-match, that he should have had a couple
more. Oh, did he? Yeah, I think he probably should have done better there.
He knows it as well.
Absolutely. All right, but the Shrews midfield and defence completely bypassed in the 24th minute with a through ball from Tom James, which found Ethan Galbraith alone about 25 yards out. He evaded the Shrewsbury offside trap and a great first touch saw him in on goal, and he expertly chipped the ball over Morosi into the net to make it 2-0 with 24 minutes gone.
I have to say, looking at how Ethan got the ball turned and went towards goal, that looked like such a FC 24, like you're playing on your PlayStation or your Nintendo, whatever it was. Top goal, top quality pass from Tom James as well. Been missing that from him this season, and he's finally showing what he can do in a game. It's just a shame it's the last one of the season and it wasn't like 10, 15 games ago when we needed that. I mean, Ethan Galbraith, what a talent, what a touch, what a run. If you watch the goal from the club's sort of closer look perspective, you watch the run from the different angle, you watch the run that Ethan makes, and Tom just finds him, looks up and just sees him, and that ball just goes. Fantastic. Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, really good goal. I mean, superb finish as a starting point. Great assist. From the one angle I've seen it, he looked a million miles offside. Obviously, he wasn't offside.
Well, he might have been, just the officials were a bit
crazy. Well, you don't have the benefit of like what you see in the Premier League clubs, but he scores, and all you can hear is boos on extended highlights because the Shrewsbury fans think he's a million miles offside. But great finish. A very cheeky finish. A very FIFA-esque, like you said.
Yeah.
Finish. All right, Shrewsbury not offering much. A couple of half-hearted efforts. Nothing that troubled Sam Howes. Although I did notice again on the extended highlights, one of those chances comes from Omar Beckles again.
Trying to bring the ball out.
Trying to bring the ball forward and loses possession. And suddenly it's like 3-on-3. And like, had they scored from that, it completely changes the face of the game. Luckily, their effort doesn't go anywhere near the target and we can sit here and laugh about it. But again, he's just got to be better in those situations.
Yeah, I agree. like, just not give the ball away so cheaply. Like, he'd literally come about 15 yards out of the 18 yard box, got a nosebleed, gave it away. I know he doesn't want to do that, but that's just not cricket, is it? Let's be honest. Tom James' free kick was well saved by Morosi in the 39th minute. He got a hand to it to turn it away for a corner.
Yeah, nothing else to talk about in the first half. 2 minutes of this time played, and the ref blew the half-time whistle with the O's 2-0 up. Lovely stuff.
Indeed. 7,397 people crammed in to Crowd Meadow. 625 behind the goal were Leighton Orient fans.
Decent attendance.
Well played.
No, like end of season.
12:30 kickoff.
End of season game. 12:30 kickoff. Yeah, well played. Well played to the 625. Right, no changes at half-time for the O's. Shrewsbury had the first chance of the half in the 46th minute. Dunkley headed wide of goal from a corner.
Yes, he did. 6 minutes later, game set and match for the O's with the third goal of the afternoon. A Shrewsbury throw-in saw Ethan Galbraith win the ball. He drove out of defence. He was being chased by two of their players as well. But he found Dan Agge out on the far left-hand side with a superb defence-splitting pass. Agge had all the time and space out on the left-hand side that he needed to drive towards the box with his marker hobbling in, fair to say.
I'm so sorry for their 22. Their 22 is like, he's done his hammy. Literally can't get anywhere near Adji. You can see him like in the far end of the corner, like hobbling and holding his groin. That's why Adji's got so much space. The guy's injured. Like, the guy's trying to chase him, he's done his groin.
And no one's caught him. Yeah, no one's like helped him out.
No one's helped him out.
Yeah.
I'll let you read the rest of the goal because
he's still got a lot to do. He drove towards the box with his marker hobbling behind him. He fired past Morosi to make it 3-0. Actually, that shot was more of a kind of like a, looked like a dink chip kind of shot. It was a mixture of all sorts of things. The technique and the quality of that goal, and he ended up, Dan Agge, scoring his sixth goal of the season, made it 3-0. Very, very, very well taken goal.
Yeah, nice
very
finish.
Well taken. Good. I see plenty of those missed as well.
Good for Dan to get that goal before 100%. The season, and it'd be great for confidence.
Yeah. It's one of those where you've got so much time to think about it that you can overthink it and muck it up and shoot wide or at the keeper or
He takes it fairly early. He doesn't hang about. Like, he already got a lot of time. He, like, as soon as he gets into that position, he just shoots. He could have taken like two or three extra touches that amount of time he had, but finishes well. Well played, Galbraith. I mean, Galbraith literally wins the ball from the throw on and drives forward and drives away. So, really nice goal. I hope their 22 is all right, though, because he looks in some serious discomfort. All right, Shrewsbury tried to get themselves back into the game. Again, a couple of efforts around the hour mark. Dealt with comfortably. Nothing to go into great detail about.
67 minutes now. An Orient break away. Saw Dan Aggie turn his man. Broke away. Played the ball across the goal to the oncoming Ethan Galbraith. So, score a turn. Provider nearly. But unfortunately, Galbraith put the effort.
He's tried to be too pretty again. He's tried for another FIFA finish. Like, again, a little dink. And he's come very close, but he's just missed the target. Should have scored that. Great turn by Aggie as well. Really showing his strength.
Yeah.
Like, literally just makes his man, like, look useless when he done that so well. So great play there from Adji. All right, 71st minute, Matt Howell made a triple change with Dan Happy, Shaq Ford and Max Sanders coming on in place of Omar Beckles, Dan Adji and Darren Prattley.
That is true. 73 minutes on the clock. Bloxham put in a cross for the host from the right, which was met by the onrushing Shipley. Sam Howell's made a good save with his legs to keep the ball out.
Great save there. I don't know how much Sam Howell knew about that, because the guy comes in and smacks it first time and Howell's just trying to get his body big, but makes a save. Great save there from Sam Howes. However, 3 minutes later, Shrewsbury did pull a goal back as Bennett put in a cross from the right and Udo outjumped Jack Simpson and Sam Howes, got in between them somehow to head the ball into the net to make it 3-1. So I guess the only
consolation,
poor thing about a pretty good day, I guess we'd be disappointed with that. You can see Howes' reaction with that goal.
100%. And I'm surprised Jack Simpson got outjumped for that, given how big Jack is.
And speaking to Dan Appy yesterday, he said he was really annoyed because he'd only been on the pitch for a couple of minutes. And he said he wanted to protect that clean sheet. So he said, like, he was instantly annoyed by that. That really, like, annoyed him.
Really?
Which is good, because obviously it shows a desire and hunger at 3-0. He cares enough to be annoyed by conceding a goal.
Yeah, good to know. A minute later, Sam Howes hit a long ball upfield, which found its way to Shaq Ford, who let it bounce and turn and then hit an outrageous half volley that unfortunately hit the crossbar rather than the onion bag.
It would have been goal of the season.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant, brilliant hit.
Yeah.
So very reminiscent. I always remember seeing Drogba do that for Chelsea 1 year. Like, and it was like a goal that when he scored it, Sky Sports went mental about from every possible angle. He literally, like, controls on his chest about 30 yards out and just smacks it. Just strike his instinct. The keeper's beat it. Just hit the bar. Would have been a great goal. That would have been such a great way for Ford to go out in an orange shirt. It would have been incredible. All right, Rob Hunt replaced Jaden Sweeney in the 79th minute to get some game time.
He did. 86 minutes as we fast forward now. Sam Howes made a double save. First, he kept out a powerful strike from Shipley. The ball came out to Udo, who looked set for a tap in, but Super Sam got down, kept it out to turn the ball away for a corner.
That was a big save, actually, because if Udo scores that rebound, which he should have done, it's 3-2 with about another 7 or 8 minutes left to play.
Yeah.
And the pressure's on and the crowd's behind him.
Yeah.
Great double save there from Sam Howes. And a minute later, across from Bloxham found Udo again, but he turned the ball inches wide.
Yeah, 6 minutes of additional time went up on the fourth official's board. And in the third minute, final change of the match. And for this season, as Charlie Pegram came on for Dan Adu Ejaini.
He did. All right, no further talking points in the match as it ended 3-1 to the mighty O's as we finished the season with a win to send off the departing Matt Harold in style, as some lucky O's travelling fans were given shirts and anything they could get their hands on by the players to complete a top away day. All right, this is a very sad moment. So for the last time in the podcast, we're going to give you a Matt Harold post-match interview with Dave Fick. That's obviously the Ginger Pele, been on the podcast many a time. We're big fans of his.
Massive.
Here is his departing interview with Dave Victor.
Matt, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. A lovely way to sign off.
Yeah, I couldn't have asked for much more. I thought it was a really strong performance. Obviously, we had to pick a team. We couldn't field the whole bench. So, again, we're hamstrung with injuries. But I thought the lads showed. The one thing I asked was go out, look like a team and play for the fans who've come a long way and travelled for you all season. So you can't ask any more. I think we could have scored more goals than we did. So it's given some excitement. So in terms of what I've asked for him today, it's unbelievable. So really, really proud. Great moment to end like this for me on a personal level. But I think think the season's been really successful. I think the manager's obviously maximised everyone within the group, and we've finished in a really positive spot. I think there's always an element of what if, but I think you end up where you end up sometimes. You deserve to. So,
three well-taken goals, but as you say, there could have been so many more.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Porter said we hit the bar four times. You obviously had Shaq's weldie, Dan's header. Ethan's gone through the second time, he's got a score. So yeah, I thought it was exciting. We looked at a real threat on the break. We obviously changed shapes to something unusual because of just the personnel, and that worked well. They then changed and had some momentum, so I think it got a bit dicey by the end, but I thought we were full value for the win with the chances that we got.
Finished 11th because of Wickham's win today against Charlton Athletic, but it's a positive season overall.
Massively positive. I think, obviously, you take into account all the factors we've spoke about before, but I think it's a really positive season. I think the players would have learnt a lot. I would have thought everyone at the club would have learnt a lot, and I think it's where you go from here now. It's going to be a strong division next year, but I think we're in a good place. I think everything's really positive, so it's one to look forward to with excitement.
An early start, over 600 made the journey and they're glad they came.
Yeah, and that was the big message today. I think, I mean, how do you motivate a team that's, you know, we've been safe, we haven't been playing anything for a few weeks. So how do you motivate them? And as I said, I wanted them to look like a team. So I wanted to play like they were together and fighting and show an aggressiveness, even though there's nothing to play for. And then play for the fans who had travelled all season and travelled a long way. So I think they've given them some good memories and moments near the end. And yeah, it was one that I enjoyed as well.
I think it's 5 years to the day that Leighton Orient got back into the Football League. I think the most important promotion of all. And you were there. It's been a remarkable 7 years for you, hasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, honestly, couldn't have gone any better. I remember when my agent rung me and said Orient were interested, and I jumped at the chance, and I suppose it couldn't have really gone any better. There's been like some unbelievable highs, some lows in there as well, but yeah, I couldn't ask for more, and just a really great day for me.
You played a big part in that journey. How far do you think this club can go now?
I think the club's in a really good place. I think they obviously need to get things right this summer. I think obviously the manager's massive for the future of the club, and I think there's a lot of belief within the group and from above that they've got the right people in place to grow it and to build it. It's going to be hard. There's going to be times where you're going to have to show patience. But all in all, I think if you look at the journey we've been on so far, there hasn't been too many gone wrong. Things gone wrong. So you just, the right people are in place, so I'm sure we can take it forward.
Zetio Barreiro this week signed and committed his future to the club, and it's a young squad, isn't it?
Yeah, young, hungry, energetic. And I think you could see that today. There's still lots to work on. It's a tough league for kids, you know. You've as you could see by the end, when they're putting pressure on you, and we've got a really young team out, it can be tough. So you need the right blend. But I think we've got young, hungry players who want to improve. Every day matters. They want to work at their game. They want to improve. So that's really important.
And personally, Matt, those 7 years, two promotions, two titles. There's not many Leighton Wimps players and coaches that can say that. What are your personal highlights?
I think personal highlights would be, so obviously winning the leagues, but I think the big thing for me was with about 2 months probably to go of the National League season, I didn't really see myself staying. I thought my playing time was limited. But I just, yeah, made a decision to kind of do everything I can to finish the season strong. I didn't allow myself to kind of be negative anyway, just keep going. And I think it just shows what you can do when you have that mindset. So kind of finished the season that year, scoring some important goals and having some important moments. And then I've gone on and on. And I suppose I'm quite proud of the fact I've just kind of attacked every role I've been in and managed to be half successful at the same time. Met a load of great people along the way, you know. I've got some relationships and some people I'll be friends for life with, and I think they're the main things. Like it's the moments, isn't it? I talk about it all the time. I get taken the mickey out of, but these are the moments you want, and they're the ones that will stay with me.
Absolutely. And you finish in style, Matt. Congratulations. Thank you for all you've achieved with the O's, and we wish you every success in the Premier League.
No. Thank you, Dave. No, I really appreciate it. Cheers, guys.
And that was Dave Victor's final post-match interview of the 2023-24 season. Again, as always, Dave, thank you so much for that. And yeah, Matt speaks from the heart really well. Always very honest, and we're very grateful to have had people like him at our club, because you hear so much when things don't go well at clubs and how bad certain people are, but we're very fortunate to have people like him.
Yeah, great shout. All right.
Or have had people like, like him.
Absolutely. It was, when he's referring to Orient now, it was you and them and not we. Kind of hits you there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you hear it out loud. But best of luck to Matt Harrold, who gets a Premier League move to Bournemouth. All right, league table. That 3 points means the O's finished the season in 11th place in League One, played 46, won 18, drawn 11, lost 17, goal difference of -2, 65 points. The first promoted O's team to finish in the top half of the table in the subsequent season, which is something I didn't think I'd be saying. As we sat here like in August and September, in the first four games, played 4, won 0, lost 3, drawn 1. So they've done a hell...
tough start.
Hell of an achievement there. Yeah. All right, for the final time this season, Beardy Lejeune, Dave, let's have your views on the match.
Very short and sweet on this one. I mean, the game had very little significance, but it was a very nice way to end in the season. Always nice to win, regardless of when in the season it is. Three excellent goals, very well taken goals, well set up goals. And yeah, well done to Dan Aduajay. I think he'll remember that forever, the first pro... goal that he scored was in an Orient shirt, and best wishes, like we just said, to Matt Harrold. Been brilliant for us as a player, and then as part of the first team, and then as part of the coaching staff. So he'll be hard to replace, I think, in terms of character. He's a great personality. You know, he signed off with a win as the manager or the coach that took that side. Much better and calmer circumstances than when he was last in charge with us. So, you know, as always, a nice way to wrap up the season. I'm quite happy that it's done now. And obviously now we've got all the anxiety of who we will and won't sign, and all the rumours and all the nonsense which has already started swirling around now.
Short sweet for me, yeah. When I saw that team, I didn't think it'd be that easy. I mean, it was quite an easy, straightforward performance. I think we played really well, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
But brilliant. Happy for all three scorers. Happy they all got their goals, all taken very well.
Yeah,
great away support, again, like it has been all season for the most part. And a bit like you, yeah, lovely farewell from Harrold. From when you kind of heard he was taking the team, you're like, hopefully they can go out and put a performance on, and they certainly did that. Could have been more, like you said, hit the bar 4 times and scored some lovely goals. So yeah, all in all, a very, very nice Saturday, and it was all done by 2:30, which is also
lovely. Yeah,
very nice as well. Alright, so those were our views for the last time on a match day. We've got your views for the season, and just because we read these does not mean we agree with them. As I was reminded last night numerous times by people, very important that we put that caveat on the pod.
Really?
Yeah. Lou Master, a new Twitter handle on me actually, so welcome to the pod. Says, good away form this season, some great goals to finish, and Aduajay has deserved that one. We played some amazing football in games this season. I mean, we have played some really good football.
That's why this season hasn't felt like a hard, long slog, because there are games where you think, wow, what have I just seen? Some fantastic football, some passing, some performances, some goals. At one point, someone was having their own goal of the month competition at one point, around sort of December, January time. It was
Ford.
Yeah. Was it Sheffield? Yeah. So, fantastic, yeah. And I think that's why it makes it an easier season. Like, had we have been Cheltenham, for example, or Carlisle,
yeah, of course,
it would have been much harder. Steve Chaplin 4 said, good end to the season. We knocked the ball around nicely, especially in the first half. Galbraith stood out, will be a handful next season, along with Ajay. Looking forward to next season already. Looking forward to who we sign in the summer.
I've only literally just finished the season, Steve. Calm down. Dear Stu said, first 60 minutes, we played very well. Overall link-up play between Galbraith, Ajay and Obiero, fantastic. Well, Shrewsbury firmly had to have Anna's on. I thought Tom James played really well. Interesting to see who the 4 to 5 players are that will be coming in.
Safe Hands 00 said, great first season back in League One, 11th after a bad start where we'd played 3 and lost 3. And despite injuries to key players like Happy, Graham and Adji, the top 6 in League One all scored 78 plus goals. No one else in the division got 70. We scored 53. Big area for improvement for 24-25. Great tweet.
Great tweet. Great stats. So they're on Sampson 15. So first half, we look different class. Second half, more equal. Injuries have slaughtered us this season. Mm. Otherwise, we would have made the playoffs, I reckon. We'll miss the O's now for 3 months.
Yeah, Trousers Techno said, a promising performance, especially in the first half, with good fluidity in our passing and movements. Could and should have been 5 or 6 given the woodwork interventions, but was a little disappointing towards the close as we did what Leighton Orient always seemed to do best in giving Shrewsbury a route back in. Decent season.
Yeah, and I've got a tweet. Boats, he said, 11th place in League One is some achievement, and today just showed what we can do on our day. Great to just finish the season on a high, which gives us real belief that we can challenge up in the league in what's going to be a very hard League One next season.
Indeed. Matty LOFC Evans said, what a way to end the season. Superb first season back in League One. Plenty to build on next season if we get the recruitment right. No sentiment for me. No one is bigger than the club and its ambition.
Oh, good tweet from Matty. Steve the F1 said, positive way to end the season. That, injuries aside, was a successful return to the League One. Adji up front makes a huge difference, both with his goal scoring and his ability to hold the ball up. Plenty to build on. Obviously, we'll talk about more plays in great detail kind of next week, but I think it is of super importance that Adji gets like a good pre-season and hits the ground running.
And stays fit. Orient underscore Ed, very fortunate not to have conceded more, but we deserve the win. Adji was immense, as was Prattley. Obiero decent again, but Galbraith was top class. Very solid first season back in League One with the future looking bright. Happy summer, everyone.
Essex Beers, that's John from Carroll Angley. Flores is a great way to wrap up another successful season. Our club has grown year on year and it's fantastic to see. Congratulations to Richie, the coaching staff and the team on another great campaign in a difficult league with a young squad. Massive shout out to the Ginger Pele. Thanks so much for everything you've done for our club. We'll be forever grateful. Wishing you all the best in the Premier League.
T Mac returns, a good send off. Can't wait for the summer and to see how serious the club are about promotion.
Ed Turns, the famous Ed Turns, the only Ed Turns now in our little lonely lives. Yeah, says, thoroughly enjoyed my first season as an Orient fan. Thanks to everyone involved at the club and every fan for making it so. Can it be 24-25 already? Now, please, Ed, great meeting you away at Northampton. I think that was his first away game. Great to see Ed. There. Yeah, like I said, easy to fall in love with Orient once you start. You can't
Absolutely.
Stop. Like a pack of Pringles.
Yeah. Les LK52 said, with a fully fit squad and some good additions in the window, we can aim high next season. It's been a season like no other for injuries, and with a little luck, we can be successful. I think we do need to get a decent keeper in. Anyone know Vigouroux's phone number? Great shout, considering he's not been playing at Burnley.
I agree on the keeper front. Anyone who thinks we're getting Vigouroux
is
in an absolute different world. I'd love to be proved wrong on that. Rekha Blue App. So good to see the end of the season with a good result. Expect to be quite a few changes in the summer to push on for next season. I have trust in the manager to give it a go next year, but it's a more difficult league. Stockport, Wrexham, Rotherham, Huddersfield haven't been relegated yet to be fair, but probably will be, and others will be strong. Yeah, obviously we'll speak Sheffield a bit Wednesday. More about that in depth. It could be like one of like six at the moment. It's going to go down to the last day, so it'll be interesting to see who comes down.
Yeah, fair. Sunshine LOFC gets the penultimate word. Says, overall, a very good season back in League One. 18 wins and 11th place is really not to be sniffed at. And if any O's fans had been offered that at the start of the season, they would have taken it. Orient would have finished higher if not for injuries and other circumstances. Totally agree, Jay.
Yeah, really totally good agree. Tweet. Final yeah. word for a match down the season goes to Theo Archibald in. Just happy to see Dan Adji a juice score. Shame we couldn't get a positive goal difference, but a lovely way to end nonetheless. Thought our support was great and all-round good performances. Dan Appy either has severe hay fever, or that was his last game for Orient. The man was sniffing like crazy at full-time. Really hope the man just hates pollen.
So those were your views, and before that were our views. Do you disagree or agree with any of the tweets we've read out or any of the views that we've shared in this week's show? Let us know. You can tweet us. We're at Orient Outlook. We're on Facebook, just search for us, Orient Outlook Podcast. We're also on Instagram, Orient_Outlook_podcast. Or you can email us if you're not on social media. OrientOutlook@outlook.com is our email address. You are welcome to do that.
All right, so the match might have been pretty dramatic, but I can tell you what, the Prediction League was very dramatic. Sort of Orient Prediction League update.
Don't keep us in suspense.
I won't. So we had a few winners. The Shrewsbury consolation goal made a massive, massive difference when that happened. Because if that hadn't happened, a lot of points wouldn't have been awarded. So well done to Derby 507, who predicted the correct score. So wow. Gets 3 points. Ria underscore Orion, who went into this joint top, got the correct result and got 4 points as he corrected a score and the scorer, and we thought he had won it. Little did we know, though, that Paul R. Gregory, the little devious man he was, had also predicted 3-1 and hadn't piped up yet on social media. And he had 2 scorers, meaning he got another point gained on Rio Orion, which meant for the very first time in the prediction league, we had joint winners. So joint top on 29 points, Paul R. Gregory and Rio underscore Orion on 29 points. That is decent. That is, amazing. I think, the highest it's ever been. I think last year it was 27 that won it. So it's taken 29 points.
That was Mark, wasn't it?
Unfortunately, that's always fan. Unfortunately for Dave Brew, who was top for ages at 4797-6911, he misses out. He came in second place on 28 points. Steve Chaplin, 4, came in third at 25 points. 24 points in the Champions League places in Eastside Orient and Fiat the Wyvern, and qualifying for the Europa League on 23 points. Dan, William H., and LOFC Teresa. What a now-biting climax it was. Thanks to everyone for all their predictions. The entire prediction league for the season is on our Facebook page. Tons of Twitter handles getting correct predictions. And they're the only, obviously, get a lot more predictions than all of those. But amazing engagement again. Something we're very proud to do of a match day. If you fancy sponsoring next season, give us a shout. That initial tweet goes so far and so wide.
Yeah.
And you will be getting loads of notifications on a Saturday if you decide to do it. But there's no final way to engage with us, then do that. So give us a shout, anyone, if you are interested in sponsorship.
I have to say, I think of all the sponsorship packages that we do and the options that we have, for me, I think by far and away, that's probably the most prolific one because of how many views that they get, how many people's timelines it comes up on. So, there are various sponsorship options for next season. Get in touch with us if you've got a product or a company that you're looking to promote, or a service or something of that nature that you're looking to promote. We'd love to try and help get your product, platform, service, solution, whatever it is you have, out to the local Leighton Orient community. So, yeah, thanks for everyone who's been tweeting us this season with your predictions. Although it still amazes me that people tweet us their predictions with the player scores at like 1:55, like 5 minutes before the team. The team is out. If I was doing it, I'd wait until after 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
Sunday the 28th of April, Dan Adji and Tom James were named in the League One Team of the Day following their performances against Shrewsbury. So well done to both of you.
Yeah, well done, gents. The O's women's team played their penultimate league game at Buckhurst Hill against mid-table Hammersmith. The ladies knew that the top spot no longer within their grasp, like we mentioned that last week, but a win would go some way to help them to finish as runners-up in the Greater London Premier League.
Indeed. Grey drizzly weather greeted the sides at kick-off, which saw Orient taking the midfield, minus standout playmaker Hannah Jenks. Midfield partners Nima Carty and Erin Bright, all of whom were injured. This gave youngsters Sophie Tabor, Chloe Owen and Chloe Cabo the chance to state their claims for the first team berths, and all three did just that.
Yeah, after a nervy start with Sophie Tabor, who found a good position, took one touch, fired in the opener with a rising shot into the top bins. We believe it was her first goal for the senior squad, so well done to Sophie. And 10 minutes later, things looked even rosier, and with some smart interplay between Maddie Wright and Chloe Cabo, saw the ball meet the onrushing Liliana Almeida, who thumped home Orient's second 2-0. Lovely stuff.
Yep, indeed. Half-time came and went, but on the hour, Chloe Cabo finally broke free of her determined markers by waltzing around four of them to calmly slot home into the corner. That sounds like a bit of a decent goal.
Lovely stuff. Hammersmith enjoyed a little success for a while, pulled a goal back, but Ebony Heath, who'd only been on the pitch for a couple of minutes, sailed in a nice shot into the top right-hand corner to end the game as a contest. And it was Liliana Almeida who rounded off the day with a classy goal in the 90th minute, her second goal, and her all-round performance earned her the Ref's Person of the Match Award.
The referee gives the Person of the Match Award. Elsewhere, Richmond won top-of-the-table clash against the Comets and took the championship in doing so. The O's have one match left against Tooting Beck next week, and if we win, we'll skip over Comets and take the runner-up berth, which is not bad for a first season in the London Premier League. I have to say, thank you to the ladies press person that covers that and provides us with such a fantastic and wonderfully well-written update. I'm sorry that I'm probably not reading it as fluently as what I should do. English is my first language, I promise you. But just how well the ladies have done, given that's their first season. Like, well done, and credit and kudos to the to you all, really.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Great updates there. Echo what you said. All right, in the evening, as you'll be aware, it was the Starman Awards ceremony at the Prince Regent Hotel as players and fans gathered to celebrate the season that was.
Yep, so the first award of the evening was the Community Player of the Season, and that went to Adam Thompson.
Lovely stuff. Well done, Adam. Women's Community Player was up next. Winner of that was Layla May Nuffield. So well done to Layla.
Yeah, indeed. Next up was the LOFC Academy Player of the Season. That went to Mackay Welsh.
Decent. Now, well done, Mackay. Obviously, we mentioned him. He scored the equaliser, I think, on Saturday. So well done. So goal of the season up next. We discussed this last week.
We did.
A few potentials. I had a feeling it was going to be Rorell. I mentioned Hunt for the 37 passer move. That wins it. Well done to Rob Hunt. Goal of the season.
Quite surprised, wasn't he?
He was very surprised. Yeah, I guess we'll cover that later. But I did say to Rob Hunt, well done. Did see that one coming. You winning goal of the season. Neither did Rob. Well done. Lovely play. If you're only going to score one goal this season, you might as well score the goal this season.
So, yeah, absolutely right. Ethan Galbraith unsurprisingly won the Manager's Player of the Season award. So well done to Ethan. Very well deserved.
Straight after that, he was all season. Back up on stage straight away to get the Players Player award, as he also won that. Yeah.
Nice guy. Yeah, smashing the awards there. Shaq Ford won the Young Player of the Year award. So well done to him. I thought he's had a good season. Stronger second half than first. I think he found his footing in the second half of the season. I think that's well deserved.
He really did. Well done. The final award from the club, the Player of the Season. Few eyebrows raised this one. Player of the Season, Ruel Satiriu.
Well done, Ruel. But I'm a bit surprised by that as well.
Now, I guess you probably were expecting Ethan Galbraith to take that one based on the Manager's and the Player's Player award. So, yeah, a bit odd. But I guess Ruel, 11 goals in his first season in League One. I think Richie mentioned, or Matt mentioned in one of the pre- or post-match, probably should have got more. Well, definitely should have got more. 100%. I guess nothing to be sniffed at. But yeah, I think a few eyebrows raised, especially on social media when we kind of put that one out there. A few people were like, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree. I'm not quite sure how he's done it. Like, great. Well done. You know, I'm a big fan of Ruel's. But I can't help but think that, and we've said this in previous shows, where he scores the hard goals and makes them look easy. And the easy goals he misses, like the header in front of goal. I can't remember the game, but and it doesn't make him count. Yeah. So if he can finish that part of his game, I think it'll be a real force, assuming we can keep him.
Agree. Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if he doesn't stay, but with agents these days in football, you just never quite know what's around the corner.
They don't always have their clients' best interests at heart. That's the problem as well. And sometimes, you know, like you told me a story, which I won't repeat here because that was obviously a confidential conversation, but how agents, you know, clubs want players to go somewhere, or someone wants to, the player wants to go somewhere, and then the agent goes, no, you're going to go here. These people are playing God.
Unfortunately,
I think they step above them, get above themselves a bit. But hopefully, you know, Ruel's been here, he's come through the academy, and hopefully he will sign.
Yeah, absolutely right. So those were the club awards. Then the supporters club and the supporters group awards followed. So the next one was the Rainbows Award, and that went to Adam Thompson. So Adam Thompson, a double award winner.
Well played. The supporters club's Young Player of the Season went to Shaq Ford.
So he's sweeping the board there, both for the club and the supporters club. Yep. So well done to Shaq. Supporters club away player of the season, Sol Brins. Mm-hmm. Well done to Sol.
Well done, Sol. And the Supporters Club Merit Award winner for 2023-24 went to Idris Elmazouni. Surprised he didn't get any of the previous ones either.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point there. And the last award, which was the all-important one, the Starman Award for the season, went to Ethan Galbraith.
Standout player.
Which topped off.
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone that doesn't see Ethan as one of the standout players of this season, or the talent that he is, I think probably isn't watching the same football that we're all watching. So fair play to him. So let's move on to today. Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give my thoughts.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, good night. All the players seem fairly happy. I think talking to Happy, I think speaking to Dan Happy, I think Dan Happy's probably going to stay at Orient. So that's a good sign. Theo spoke very brightly about his future and his plans to get back to fitness. So I expect Theo to stay. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
I'd be quite happy with that.
Tom James, love and fatherhood. By the way, very smiley, brightened up. You can tell when some men are talking about fatherhood, like how much it means to him. Tom James is that bloke.
Yeah.
Really happy, wants to stay. Jack Simpson loves it at Orient. And the short space time that I spoke to him, you could tell he's got a real affinity to the club, which is really good. And everyone was a good form. Like, everyone seemed really happy. Obviously, there's players who go straight after the awards. There's players who stay and have a boogie and have a dance and have a good time. No drama. So, no Kevin Nolan-esque dramas. Just a nice evening, nice people. Obviously, I think we have to mention a few absentees there. So, there's a bit of illness in the squad from what we've been told. So, Piggott wasn't there. Zeko Biera wasn't there. Adu Ajaya wasn't there. I guess the biggest person missing from the event was Richie Wellens, who was joked about having a meeting in Barnsley, which I thought was a clever spin on it from Matt Porter. But the reason for his absence, although a few rumours about his location or other stuff, hasn't kind of been explained. So I think the club maybe should have explained it a bit, because it's just led to a lot more questions today and on social media, and everyone thinking he probably hasn't, but has he? So that one remains still an open book. So I do think it is a bit odd that the manager wasn't there. I must say it like I see it. It's odd, right? Unless there's a reason for it. If he's ill, then I think they could have just said he was ill.
And also that he wasn't in any of the pictures at Shrewsbury on Saturday either, like the post-match sort of clapping the fans. I thought that was a bit unusual.
Don't think he was there.
I think he mustn't have been there, because he said he was going to sit in the stands and watch from the stand and let Matt Harrell take the team.
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
you're right though. It could have easily have been nipped in the bud. He's unwell, won't be able to travel, or won't be able to attend the Star Man.
It's just led to lots of questions today and lots of people thinking that he might be off. Now, I personally don't think he'll be off. I mean, we might see a recording next week as a manager to this club, and I might be kind of eating my words, but I think at this moment in time, I don't expect Richie Williams to be anywhere else, but I do think it is odd. A, he wasn't there on Saturday, whether or not Matt Howard was taking the team or not, which I completely get the reasoning for. That was always going to be the case. But for him not to even be in the stands, I think is odd.
Mm.
And B, for him not to be at the Starman Awards, I think is odd. I'm just surprised the club didn't put out something to kind of explain that situation. So hopefully it's nothing to worry about. We'll see what happens. And we'll all be sitting here this week having a good old laugh about how Richie wasn't at Star.
When they announce his contract extension.
Yeah, I mean, there's also quite a lot of board members missing. Obviously, Nigel and Kent, based in the US, who've been there previously, weren't there. A few other board members missing, so to speak. But yeah, a great evening. Supporters Club done ever so well to get on, I must say. It must be very hard to organise that. Well done to Linda Kerr and everyone who was involved. Great night. Can't recommend it highly enough. Good food, actually, to be fair. And a great night had by all. But yeah, no real dramas apart from Richie Wellens not being in the building.
Mm.
So Richie, if you're listening, which I think you probably are, I hope you're in Buckhurst Hill somewhere having a nice little lie down and getting over an illness.
Tucked up. Keeping yourself well.
All right, let's
do it. Monday the 29th then, well done. And I hope everyone who attended had a wonderful evening. Some of the players certainly enjoyed themselves. So they're now able to take a well-earned rest now.
Yeah.
Monday the 29th of April, today as we record, it's been a year to the day since we lifted the League 2 trophy. Wow, how quickly a year has gone.
It's crazy. Lost 3-0 at the game, if you remember, to Stockport County, but no one cared really today. Won the league exactly as it was. Celebrations and everyone off to capture afterwards for what was a great evening, right? Last bit of news in from today. Well done to Dan Adji and Ethan Galbraith, who've been named in the Football League papers League 1 team of the day following their performance against Shrewsbury Town on Saturday. There was rumours last night that the retain list was going to come out today, so we did hope to be talking about the retain list for the club. As we record, past 10 o'clock, I don't think it's going to come out anytime soon this evening, Mr. Levy. Right. So I think at 54 minutes and 10 seconds, it's time to wrap this bad boy up.
Let's do that. Fantasy football update. Josh Abrahams, well done to you. You're currently top of our fantasy football league with 2,274 points. You are ahead of James Duncan, who's in second place on 2,200, and 22 points. So there is just 52 points separating you all to play for still. Several games still to play. Steve is in 229th out of 373 places. So let's move on then to the positives and the negatives.
All right, positives and negatives of the week. Three positives, two negatives. First up, the win and performance against Shrewsbury.
Yeah, three goal scorers, three good goals and three different goal scorers.
Yeah, lovely goals. Last positive, been this way all season, the fantastic away support. Had a great noise coming from that away end all season. Lovely to see.
Makes a massive difference. Negatives then, more injuries.
Yeah, obviously with Piggott. Allegedly,
but just injuries in general have just been
crazy season.
Crazy for us, yeah.
Crazy season. Negative, we almost got there, but not quite. Ended the season on a negative goal difference. Being very, very picky here, but we try and balance it as well we can. Just leads us now. Hero of the week.
Yeah, and this week, for the final time this season, our hero, unsurprisingly, goes to
Mr. Matthew J. Harrell. Well done, Matt.
Well done, Ginger Pele. Thanks again for everything you've done for us. So there are no more fixtures now. The season has finished, unfortunately. I hear sighs of relief and cues of slight depression and what am I going to do on Saturdays now for the next 3 months. But don't worry. Enjoy them. Rest. Recharge. Ready to go again for the 24-25 season.
All right.
Which leads us to just say.
Yeah, don't forget then. Get in touch with John and their fantastic team of experienced florists. Give them a call, 0208 529 4130. Or go in contact via social media. You can find them at Cal Langley for Essex Biz on Twitter, Instagram Cal Langley Florists, and you can find them on Facebook at Cal Langley Florists.
So that is it. Thank you very much indeed for joining us for episode 355. The season finale has ended positively with an away win at Shrewsbury Town. Three excellent goals from three different goal scorers, including a first pro goal for Loney, Dan Adu, Ajay. It's been good to see long-term absentees, some of them starting to get back and playing, and the impact they're having on the side has been very positive. We now await the retained and release list, which should be out very shortly, as Steve said a moment ago, and we look forward to covering that and all the latest news in our last podcast of the season here at Orient Outlook Podcast Towers.
Yeah, the lights are almost off, but not quite for the summer. So if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe, give the podcast a 5-star rating. Or if you're listening on Spotify, don't forget you can rate the show or you can even leave a comment on each episode. So I was looking earlier in the week, I had a few nice comments actually. So thanks to everyone who leaves their comments on Spotify. We'll give you a shout out next week when we have those in front of us. And if you get the chance, don't forget to add us or follow us to your favourites on your chosen podcast provider, as that way you'll get all the episodes as soon as they're available. You can find the pod as normal, all smart speakers, the Fan Hub app, YouTube, anywhere you consume your media, you can find us there. So listening to the podcast has never been easier. And if you have an older relative, a loved one, an orient chum, anyone who you think will like the pod, grab their phone, download it for them, and don't forget to pass the pod.
That is it. Yep. So we'll be back with episode number 356 on Bank Holiday Monday. So a week today as we record this. We'll have a full 23-24 season roundup, game by game, but just the highlights of the goals really, and all the information and views from the past 7 days. So we look forward to hearing from you in the meantime. And as always, keep calm, stay safe, do have a great week, and listen to the Orient Outlook Podcast.
Up the O's. Love you, mate.